In this life, gotta make your own deals, chase your own thrills, pay your own bills. On the outer loop, sitting on chrome wheels, phone synced up to the newest chrome bills. On air, who cares if it's right or wrong? I just care which guests they invited on. Without a minute to stall, and there was liquor involved with some hype songs. And the night is young. Right on cue, the talking begins. And we check out what Steve Bill's got on the blends. A bit grimy, a backdrop from the late 80s to the mid 90s. Till it finally takes us to a rhythm that works. And K-Chrome spits a verse that he didn't rehearse. Both flex skills, proving it's all in. So gather around for the newest installment, Chrome Bill's.
Flex them skills.
Oh, you're dope, man. That was really dope.
Hey, thank you, man.
That was sick.
Episode number 6, Chrome Bills. Chrome Bills is actually, I verified today, the only podcast in America and possibly the world that talks specifically about hip-hop.
Oh, dope, dude.
Yo, so this is very fucking
groundbreaking right now.
We're
pioneering some shit.
This is very groundbreaking.
Well, I'm a little confused, though.
What's up?
I thought that was Captain Soundboard. I didn't know that was Chrome Bills. Hey, yo!
Captain Soundboard, yeah. Baby.
AKA.
We're on it. So,
hey, so first of all, did you like the theme song?
Yes, very much.
Did you like how Chuck summed up everything that we're going to do?
Yeah.
I like that part.
And
too.
He also, you did some ill shit where it's like the beat changed and it was like in the mid-90s, finally, as the beat changes back over, carrying it to the next theme.
Yes, and to be fair, when I wrote it, it was just looped.
It was
and even
of-
when I recorded it, that was all post-production. Of the one and only Steve Bills.
Wait, so Stevie Bills was on.
I'm all about post-production. That's really how you get things to sound good.
Yeah.
Not when you actually have to do them,
yeah.
But after the fact, you go and make it sound
clean
nice.
It up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, you're going to have a lot to do with this podcast.
What up? Hey, so why don't you give a little background on who we have on the show
so
right now.
So we've got the one and only C's Mikes in the house tonight. Of Educated Consumers fame, first name basis, Old School Vendetta,
very
Anonymous
famous.
Crew.
Yes.
Am I leaving anything out?
Very famous.
Broken Clock.
Broken Clock.
There we go.
The worst fantasy football prognosticator of all time.
Yes.
That's my avant-garde rap group.
Yes. So we've got C's in studio. We've known each other for probably going on 15 years or something close to it.
Yeah.
Majority through hip-hop, so... When me and Mr. Stephen Bill started doing the podcast, it was only a matter of time until we got you on. So I'm glad we're doing that.
So
tonight.
Necessary.
It's so necessary.
Well, first of all, thank you, man.
Hey.
If we don't tell you, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Through.
Hey, I got a glass of ice. That's a good Friday night for me,
what's
man.
Up?
There we go. Yeah, the drinks are flowing a little bit. There was liquor involved. There was liquor involved. Yo, I will say this. Usually, once I like a song, I then begin to slowly hate it over time, like every time it plays. And I actually am liking the podcast intro more every time I hear it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So daps to you.
I'm proud of it.
And props to whoever wrote that.
Yeah, indeed.
That guy's doing it. He's slam doing it. Hey, yo! So in typical Chrome Bills fashion, Steve made a mix of beats last night.
True.
You know, see? Dropped out right as I said that.
That's kind of strange.
And
so.
I do appreciate the Red Man.
Yeah, I've been on a Red Man kick, so.
Have you been on a Red Man? We've spoken about this.
Is it pronounced Redman?
Redman.
I've been on a
Redman. Like Chris Redman, the backup quarterback for.
Exactly.
He might be the backup quarterback for the Ravens.
Well, you know the crazy thing about rap nowadays is Chris Redman actually has two rap albums out now.
That is crazy.
Everybody's got a rap album.
Who's Chris Redman, though?
He's in the NFL.
What position?
I think Chris Webber actually did all the beats on the Chris Redman.
Yeah, he did.
And it's called Chris Squared, yeah. I think. Or it's called...
Chris Webberman. What's it called?
And Chris Kamen is the validating hype man.
Yes, he is. Dude, Chris Webber did a beat on a Nas album for anyone unaware of that.
Yeah,
it happened.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, boy.
It definitely happened.
I don't want to...
On the N-Word album, right? On Untitled?
I think it's on Untitled. Well, what's the album before Untitled?
Hip Hop is Dead?
Not Illmatic.
It's on Hip Hop is Dead, I think.
Okay, it was Hip Hop is Dead.
Chris Webber killed it.
Respect.
Hip Hop was about to die, and Chris Webber called a timeout, but it turned out they didn't have any timeouts left, so Hip Hop died.
That was the first time he ever finished anything.
Hey, yo! Hey, yo! Get a round of applause for that one, actually.
Yeah!
Yo, the studio audience loved it.
Once again, we forget to do this every time we introduce the show.
Oh, this? Yo, but I do think we should do the fact that we finally have sponsorship today.
Yeah.
So this Chrome Bills podcast is coming from the Haleo Studios. in Silver That's Spring, right. Maryland. Yeah, so shout out to Jose Andreas, man.
Shout out, dude. Thanks for
really
small,
appreciate
thanks for the small place, brother.
And the spread going on right now.
Yo, is that octopus?
Is insane. I think it's sea urchin, actually.
Is that garlic there? Are those shallots?
I think it could be a mix of both. That's definitely manchego cheese.
Dude, manchego cheese. Dude, did you see the... my bad. The Portlandia with the small plates.
Oh, the Tapas Ghetto? Yo, the Tapas Ghetto is the funniest thing ever. It's up there. Actually, I can't say it's the funniest thing ever. That's such a superlative. It may not even be the funniest Portlandia, but it's like top three for me right now. He's like, can you just bring five plates and start them here? Well, we'll bring five plates, but we're going to start them down there. That is amazing.
Yep.
But yeah, shout out to Jose Andreas for sponsoring the podcast.
And
that's
also,
good looking out. Two-time James Beard Award winner.
And also shout outs to Barney's Laundromat, Shoe Laundromat.
You can
take your shoes there anytime, and he'll throw them in the washing machine for you and dry them out, air dry them on a rack, and they'll clean up any pair of old Nikes or Reeboks that you
just
might have.
Shoes though,
just shoes, and
only,
that's a,
only sneakers.
That's a shout out to Tone Broadway, who thought Steve was the only person that that puts his shoes in the washing machine.
I don't want
to
keep
because
this
now
up,
we have a sponsor.
Yeah, thanks Barney for sponsoring the
good
show.
Good looking out, man.
But
good looking out. Keeping Chrome Bills afloat.
Do you ever throw your sneakers in a washing machine?
I can't think of a reason why I would.
To bring the life back to them.
Like, are you putting
it's
in
the resurrection of Jordans?
Well, are you putting them in there with other clothes?
No, just the shoes.
Like the noise alone, I'd be like, it's just not. I'll just throw them away. Like, are you're putting them in there because like they got some shit on them? Or
he's throwing them away over noise. I just want to point that out.
Truly, hey, I don't need that shit. I have three pairs of sneakers.
God, must be kidding me.
What? Captain Soundboard in the house.
What up?
So
thank
for real,
you. So thank you to Haleo and thank you to Barney's
and Cole or C's has not heard any of the podcasts we've done yet because we're keeping them under lock and key. Oh, nicely done.
Yeah, I like this.
Oh my goodness.
Dot dot dot. So that's great because I was just
that's
about to.
That's respect right there.
That is respect right there.
So when's the first time that you guys ever shared a meal together?
Is that really one of your questions that you wrote?
Hey yo.
Did you two ever walk to Wawa together?
Are these really questions you wrote?
That's not a real question.
I was going to say.
Did you guys ever get in a fist fight together? Not with each other, but with somebody else?
No.
I'm going no on
okay.
that.
Okay, all right.
But so I guess, well, let's let Cole talk a little bit, but do you remember around the time that we met?
Yes.
Okay, so what do you remember, especially music-wise, like the first interaction we had?
Well, had we hung out that one time at your crib, Ayo, before the battle?
No, I think the battle
had
was...
Had we
the...
had sex before we rapped against each other?
Ayo, God, must be kidding me!
What?
Stop,
yo.
No, but I remember succinctly walking from, I think the radio station... No, the first time I met you was when with Sean at the radio station.
That's correct. At 88.1.
Yeah.
That's back when Sean was a rapper.
Yeah.
Dude, that's crazy
yeah.
to me.
And he had
jump over stands like hurdle mans, bomb your fertile lands. Yo, Sean had bars
yeah.
too. I still always fuck with him about that.
Like,
but yeah, you're right.
Hurdle
that was
man?
At Independent Thought
yeah.
at University of Maryland, WMUC. Shout out.
And then I think we, I'm getting the chronologically I'm out of order or I'm in order, but it doesn't really matter. But so then we battled and you beat me. Like, but then, well, no, at the time, like, you were the better MC, but, like, at the time, I had a name, so that's what got me over, and that's it. But that's when I was like, okay, like, I'm friends with this guy now, you know?
Yeah, no, that's the way I remember it, is that we knew each other because you had asked me at the radio station if I wanted to be in the battle
right.
that you were throwing. And that was actually the first battle I'd ever been in. And I always talk about how many crazy people were in that battle because it was, you were in it. I was in it, Perfecto, Stanley Ipkiss, Napoleon the Legend. It was hosted by Peter Rosenberg.
Right.
And it was a 16-person battle. And there were other good MCs in there, too, that I'm sure I'm going to hear this on the playback and be mad that I left someone else. Did I say Icon?
He was in it, yeah.
Yeah, Icon is dope as well, and he was in it. Now I might have caught everyone in it that,
yeah.
that was dope. But I remember, I battled you. But you were at the time... I don't want to gas you up, but probably like the biggest or one of the biggest, at least, rappers on a 30,000 person campus.
Yeah.
And I was in my first battle ever. So I just remember that we went to...
Yeah, I'm battling
that we went,
right now.
The battle went to a sudden death overtime where you were unable to win with a field goal.
Yeah.
And and I ended up losing to C's. But I may have got the better of you in the like the actual first two rounds. Yeah. But I mean, you killed me in the overtime. At that time, I was like, yo, I didn't come prepared to, like, do 4 30-second rounds.
Yeah.
No, I figured I was one and done.
The thing that stood out to me was, like, the names that you're talking about in that battle, I knew them all on the level of, like, if I wanted to do a bunch of shit with you, I could. Like, I know you like that. And then when I saw you, I was like, all right, like, I got to get to that level with this dude. You know? If,
that's
like,
what's up.
You know what I mean?
So, yeah, you hit me up about either that night or, like, the following week about doing a track.
Yeah.
And that was the Two White Boys joint, which is on the first Educated Consumers album.
Correct.
Which was probably released is that 2000 or 2001?
2000.
2000. Yeah. So, and then we've probably done 50 songs since then.
Yeah.
That's probably
an entire album.
Two entire albums.
True. Yeah.
Two entire albums and have been on each other's stuff. You've been on a bunch of my stuff. I've been on a bunch of yours. So yeah, I'd probably put it at 50.
Well, the other thing, that's the thing, like in terms of what is out there that people could go check, there's a lot of it. But the stuff I always think back to is like the time when we drove, either we were living together.
Hey, yo.
Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo.
We actually lived together at one point.
Yeah, chill with the soundboard.
Captain Soundboard, my bad. That's it.
We lived together, and then I realized I didn't deserve you, and so I subconsciously sabotaged the relationship. So we lived together, but at one point we drove from the College Park area to Bethesda. That could be
the yo, that is very
yo, I actually tell this story because I remember this night specifically.
There was two events that we were going to, and one of them was definitely just like a freestyle session at the place that Titsworth was putting together.
South Beach.
And was there a show before that or something? Like, we did, for whatever reason, we freestyled the whole way there, freestyled for like 80 minutes at the Titsworth joint.
At the venue.
Yeah. And then either freestyled the whole way back or there was another show. But like
no, we went to U-Turn.
Right,
and freestyled
yeah,
again.
Yeah. Like, it was like, that's the kind of stuff where it's like, I'll hear people talking about making music now and everything, and they're like, what's the biggest difference between now and then? Like, back then, what we did was not unusual for MCs to do in terms, like, that's how fucking dope and into it they were. Whereas now, I can't imagine, like, two, like...
You don't even have to leave the house.
Well, no, I just mean it was just like, girl, like, you know, the idea of you got to put 10,000 hours into something to make it work, or, like, or you just like... People, like, I'd play football, you know, even if I wasn't getting paid. I'm like, really? Like, I would definitely rap without getting paid. I've basically done it the last 15 years. But that, like, those are the times that I remember in terms of, like, that was the hell shit.
No, and it was. And I totally agree with where you're going with that, that to spend what probably amounted to close to 5 hours freestyling and to have it in two different venues and driving around, like, it's one thing to be gassing yourself up and be like, yo, I can freestyle for 5 hours. Like, if you've really freestyled for 5 hours, then you understand that the story we're telling is pretty fucking insane.
Yeah. Plus, the other thing about it was, like, and I think that's a difference, too, now, like, at that time, we both wanted to freestyle for that long.
Yes.
You know?
I agree.
Whereas now, like, I feel like even, I mean, I guess I would do it if I got in the zone, but like, I can't think of many rappers that would be like, yeah, I'm into that shit.
Yeah, like, you know? Oh, yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
You think that's because they just don't want to fuck up and sound like they're slipping a little bit?
Or honestly,
like
some
perfectionism type thing? Or?
Well, this is one of the things I've started to break down in terms of, like, mainstream versus underground rap. You know, like, at the point where you're making a living off of your music, how fun is freestyling? Like, how fun is dicking around with it? Because beyond actually making the music, you're spending so much time, like, on the business end of it, that at the end of the day, I think you could be like, dude, like, the idea of freestyling now, for now, I don't want to fucking do that. I want to read the sports page. Or, like, I want to read a book. Like, get not be in that headspace.
Because you've been recording all day and trying to figure out,
Talking to a publicist who's just like, what does your name mean? They're just like, Jesus Christ. Like, how boring could this shit be? And I'm not in the mental space where I want to, like, be creative. And I think, whereas, you know, like, the idea of, like, flying or driving out to Scribble Jam to maybe be in the battle and then maybe, like, get to perform 5 years from now, I was like, who the fuck am I kidding? I might as well enjoy, like, the trip out there and freestyle the whole time.
Totally.
Whereas it's like, I'm on the back of an 18-wheeler about to headlight Scribble Jam. Like, I'm not interested in ciphering with four people I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's the
difference. It's very true. Well, and that was the thing when I think on one of the last podcasts,
we
brought up the Pro Era stuff, and I was saying, the thing that I like about those guys is whatever the music is, aside of not even listening to the music, is the vibe I feel like there's 12 dudes that are really like students of the game and really into rapping. And all they care about is being the dopest dude in the room among people that they're genuinely friends with. Which I think that you could draw a parallel to that to even like the Beatles or something where like you just respect your friends and you're like, yeah, he's good, but like I want to smoke him, or like I want to, and guys just don't, you know, Wu-Tang the same way. They just don't want to have the worst verse on the track. So they're doing that, and then the freestyling is kind of like, you know, shooting jumpers before a basketball game. Like, they're just freestyling because they're like, yo, I'll do this cipher because if I get four bars I can use in the verse I'm writing tomorrow, that's like four more I don't have to write tomorrow.
Yeah, that's the benefit of the group aspect, you know?
Yeah,
it's like you're always going to be at the same level, you know? It'll make you step your competition up.
Well, that's
just being guru in a group. And
that's what I think is fascinating about, I'll do it for two rappers, Jay-Z and Eminem, are... not to shit on people that they hang out with, but they're exponentially better than like the people that they're like,
seems
yo,
like
I came up with these guys
less
rapping.
Competition with themselves, you know.
But
not
I'm like,
really
how
competition,
did
so.
How did Jay gets? I guess the Jay angle's weird because the Biggie element and him dying. But like for Eminem, like how did he get so fucking nice when the other dudes, they're not bad, but like they're not on some hey, you might be the best rapper in a year shit, you know? And like who was pushing him? Whereas when I think of other people that were in, like Wu-Tang makes sense. Where I'm like, if you're not meth and like meth is doing that, then you gotta be Ghost. Like, then you gotta be Death. You know, like, these guys like carve their own lanes and like develop their own styles, because otherwise, why would you even have them on the song?
The ill thing for me about the whole Eminem thing, and like, I'm not into the whole white boy or like white versus black thing, like white people in hip hop. But the thing about it was, at that time, you didn't have to be super dope just because you were white. Like on the open mic kind of circuit and stuff like that. You know, there was people that were pretty decent, then they got their props and everything. But for someone to be commercially viable, it was almost like in the 60s, it was like, you know, a black student's got to get like a 4.0. Like, he can't come in here getting like a 2.8. You know what I mean?
That's a good point.
And I felt like that was the thing with Eminem that really, and I think that's where Dre comes in, because I think he saw that and was like, you can't be like on some mediocre shit. You have to be the kind of thing that like, everybody respects.
Yeah, he was like, you basically can't drop like the I and I record, which like I like, but you know, like is something like they're like, you gotta,
but then Kid
you
Rock,
gotta blow this up.
But
or,
Kid
like,
Rock was from Detroit and making shitty rap, so he got on.
Yeah, but he didn't get on as a rapper. Nah, I would argue.
Yeah, he started out as a rapper.
No, I know he started as a rapper, but I don't think he got famous as a rapper.
That's true.
He got famous on the
right.
Well, it was a quoting a rap song.
Eesh.
Well, that's the other thing I think.
Bomb to the bomb, to bang, digga digga digga.
That's the other thing I think about, like, when people talk about the freestyle, like, what it breaks down to me is the mainstream versus underground thing, like, the whole, like, commercial versus the independent stuff is, I think the insulting part about it to me when people are like, oh, like, that dude's a sellout, like, he's made a lot of money off of his music, inherently in that argument, you're saying that person doesn't care. And I think that you logically cannot make that argument if they're making music solely to be sold. Like, they obviously care.
True.
I don't like my job, but I care about it because it's how I fucking eat. You know?
Yeah,
what I mean?
Well, we were talking about someone earlier, and I was like, yo, I would, and I was like, complain, it's someone who I respect as an MC, and I was like, I don't really like what they're doing, but I understand why they're doing it. And we had just left work. And I'm like, dude, I would make shitty music to never walk in my regular 9-to-5 again.
Right.
Like, if someone was like, yo, this is a party jam, and like, this is a song that we need to use for like American Pie, the fourth American Pie,
yeah,
and it needs to be about fucking Bandcamp, and I'd be like, yo, where's the beat? Like, I got 4/16 tomorrow. Like, if it means I don't go to my office next week, are you kidding me?
It's a great point.
It's a no-brainer. And then, like, is that selling out? Like, if it is, then I'm a fucking sellout.
Dude.
Because I would do it in a heartbeat.
No, I mean, there's a lot of people lining up just to sell out, you know?
Yo, there is.
Well, speaking of that, too, I've done so many shitty shows or been involved with, don't take this the wrong way, granted, our current technical situation. But, like, you know, like, going to...
Nah, this is, yeah, go ahead.
No, it's good, but I, like, I've done enough stuff where I was like, God, like, this technically is just like a piece of crap.
Uh-huh.
Like, so this girl sent me the link to the new ASAP Rocky video, And I was watching, I was like, I mean, this has no appeal to, within 15 seconds, I want to turn this off. This has no appeal to me. But I will say this, this shit looks like a fucking movie. Like the actual quality.
It's nicely done.
Yeah, okay, like that's
that. Which song? What is it the song that has a bunch of other people on?
Yeah.
It's got like Kendrick Lamar and like Drake and.
Well, I know Drake and then 2 Chainz is on it.
Yeah, I think Kendrick's. Isn't that the one Kendrick's on?
Yeah, Kendrick's on.
You got to do that for a 2 Chainz reference.
Any 2 Chainz reference.
Any 2 Chainz reference. Yeah.
But it's the kind of thing I was watching and I was thinking to myself, you know, I mean. At the end of the day, you're just trying to accomplish certain goals with the amount of finite time you have on this planet. So would it be awesome if I saw like an educated consumer song with that level of quality of video? That'd be fucking amazing.
You know what video I'm really loving the quality of and realizing I love the song is the Homeboy Sandman What You Want From Me video. Have you peeped that yet?
Yes. Well, he's going around. He's like working
in New York. He's like working in the food
trucks. Yeah.
But it's like he's working in a food area like chopping up meat for sandwiches, yet it's shot in the like HD resolution of the Super Bowl.
Sure.
Like, yeah. it's amazing.
That technology is here, though. You could shoot an educated consumer's video in
very
IDF
true
and make it fucking cool as shit, you know?
Really?
And you wouldn't be, you know, talking ASAP Rocky shit.
Yeah.
Hey, random.
No, but he raps like he's from Houston, though.
Does he really?
He's from New York, but he raps like he's from
I don't know. Why is that?
That's just the common.
Yeah, but
thing.
He raps like he's from Houston.
But he's from New York.
This
it's
is probably
crazy,
the third
son.
Time I brought this up, because I don't give a shit.
No,
my three listeners, shut the fuck up.
Exactly.
I said it again.
Let the hate mail keep coming. Like, I've been getting blasted on Twitter about the podcast.
Student, okay, not to tamper your temper. Is that a word?
Hamper?
Hamper?
Yeah.
Damper.
Damper. Yo.
Damper your expectations.
I think it's scamper.
Third time's a charm.
God, are you kidding me?
Not to scamper your expectations.
I think it's
but
tamper.
We're going to get about 100 listens for this, I think.
I like that.
100? I'm saying 100. We're going to have 100 listeners.
I'm taking
unique
the,
listens,
I'm
or
taking
am I just
over.
Spending the next 100 hours listening to it?
It might be from us, though. Yeah. From the three of us.
That's fine.
Yo.
I'm going to send it to my mom and
Chuck,
my
I'm going
to
call you tomorrow, but like only 33 hours to go, bud.
Yeah, there we go. Get that thing in triple
so
digits.
Now that I look at my questions, I'm thinking that we already covered all of these.
You probably did.
I actually wrote this.
Will you read the questions, though, just for fun?
These are it's terrible.
Start from number one.
What are your fondest memories from your developmental years as an MC?
Yo. Yo.
This is 9 a.m. Steve writing questions for an
Were you at work when you wrote these?
Yeah.
Yeah. You fucking, like, you were in that frame of mind. You're like, how does this function?
Is D.C., Maryland, Virginia, a slept-on contributor to hip-hop culture?
Oh, yeah.
I'm such a dipshit.
I think these are valid
questions. No, that's not, all right.
The first one was kind of weird.
All right, the first one was weird. Fondest, I don't know. What are your fondest memories of the Baskin-Robbins off of Connecticut Avenue?
I dated a girl from there.
Yeah, from the Baskin-Robbins?
Yeah, real tall Bolivian girl.
Did she hook you up or what?
How do you mean? With ice cream? Or sexually?
Yeah, no, ice cream. I didn't even think sexually, but yeah.
Dated for a while.
I was thinking ice cream, though.
She was hot.
How am I getting a phone call from a 5-digit number?
Yeah.
Respect.
They're on to you.
Yo, they're not feeling the podcast.
They heard his ASAP Rocky opinion. Like, they're like, get the guy out
put
here.
The kibosh on
he was like, yo, I'm from Houston and I live in New York. What the fuck is your problem? Hey, yo! came outside of the Haleo Studios and was just like, hey, yo.
Hey, yo. God, must be kidding me.
Hey, yo, you must want to be in the Guinness Book of World Records as the dumbest motherfucker alive.
Take that.
But, like, do you remember there was, like, a brief moment in time when you'd be like, is that guy a good rapper? And they'd be like, well, he got shot, though.
No.
Like, that's like, he raps like he's from Houston or something.
Yo, that's the shit on the Chris Rock stand-up where
is that one of his jokes?
Chris Rock, well, he's like, I'm really into music. Like, I think he's like friends with Questlove or someone like that. And he's like very, very into hip-hop. And like 50 Cent was blowing up right around when he had a stand-up special. And he's like, so I'm going around and I'd be like, so how's the album? Like, is the album good? And people are like, yo, he got shot 9 times.
Yeah.
And they're like, he's like, yeah, but like, who did the beats? Like, is Primo on any of it? Like, is there a Pete Rock joint? They're like, I don't know, man, but he got shot 9 times.
Yeah.
What does that have to do with anything?
It has nothing to do with anything.
Well, it shows you, too, the difference between music and a culture like sports or any results-based culture. Like, can you imagine the idea of Ray Lewis being a bad football player? Like, people wouldn't put up with that shit. Like, all the opinions, like, people have about him. I'm not a fan of the guy, but, like, he's one of the best three linebackers I've ever seen. No fucking question.
Yeah, but what about Tebow? Tebow's, like, the fucking whack rapper.
Right, but see, that's the thing. Then he gets fucking laughed at.
What's the rap equivalent of Tebow? Like, someone that just
like
keeps getting passes
for... He's like
Flo
Rida or something.
Yeah, or, like, maybe the Black Eyed Peas.
Yo, he's the Black Eyed Peas.
Wow.
Yeah, that's it.
Yo, that's it.
I'm giving high fives out in the studio. And the actual studio audience at the Haleo Studios is loving that line. Shout out to y'all. Yo, I'm
giving... You look like you should know what the fuck you're doing, but you don't.
Yeah, you really should. On the Nardwuar interview with Black Thought, he pulls out... Black Eyed Peas record from when they were rhyming under a different name, and it's like very hood, like the name of it, and apparently the record is like very street, and it was Eazy-E was their manager, I think one of the guys that's like cousins with Eazy-E.
Yeah,
or they, something.
I think Will I Am's from LA, so
yeah, I don't know which guy it is. I'm guessing it's not the Asian guy with the long hair that's Eazy-E's cousin, but I could be wrong.
He's the Filipino dude. Respect to
Filipinos
that dude.
Are Asian.
Respect to that dude,
aren't they?
I'm not.
Who was the guy that played?
I thought you were painting me as a racist.
I'm very
on the reels.
Who was the guy who played Bill in Kill Bill? That's who that guy from Black Eyed Peas looks like. He looks like a browner version of him.
Oh, David Carradine?
Yeah,
David Carradine.
Like a flat nose.
Do you know about Kung Fu?
I'm googling David Carradine right now.
David Carradine's the shit.
Grasshopper, right?
Yo, you know what happened? David Carradine's the guy who
asphyxiation.
Yeah,
he put the ass in asphyxiation.
I'm not.
Yeah.
Yo, I want to give a shout out to a mutual friend of Steve and I's that just texted me, doesn't know we're doing the podcast, and said, conspiracy theory, LL Cool J staged beating up those burglars at his house to give his name and street cred a boost for an album that's dropping soon.
Yo,
he's still making records?
Apparently he's got an album dropping soon.
Oh, he made a song called Ratchet. You know how people are saying, like, that girl's ratchet or this guy's ratchet, which means, like, they're shady or whatever.
Oh, and rule number one of, not to cut you off, so go back to that story in 1 second. Rule number one of selling music is creating a slang word or...
He didn't create it, though.
No, but making a song, like,
so he was
if you think about, like, Bout It,
he jumped
or, like,
on it. He jumped on it. And there's a song called Ratchet. I'd suggest you guys don't look that up.
Nice.
Can I read you these terrible questions?
Yeah, let's keep going.
God damn, I'm
like
a
it.
Corny motherfucker. This is hilarious to me.
I actually really like it.
Okay, how difficult... This could go for both of you guys. How difficult was it for you guys to make the transition from fan to artist?
What about the transition from artist back to fan? That's a two-parter.
Respect.
What about the transition from... artist to fan to world famous podcast host
to caterpillar to butterfly?
No, for you, that's actually a good... I'd like to hear Caesar's answer for that. My transition from artist to fan has probably been documented pretty well on this show already,
I would just like to say, like, what kind of nerve do you have thinking that you can rap too?
True.
You know? What type of nerve? Like, you listen to this shit and now you want to rap?
Honestly, I think that if you don't ask yourself that question every time you go to write a freestyle or do a show, you're doing the crowd a disservice. Because if you can't, like, that's what, like, rap is very battle-oriented and confrontational. And if you can't say that to your own self, then you can't say it to other people.
That's actually an excellent point.
You know?
So I agree with that.
So that question wasn't terrible then?
No, I think that was a good question. All right. I mean, I think the thing I see is that the bigger fan you are as time progresses, the higher, like, what? All right, so once the idea of hearing yourself on a playback sort of wears off, like, your filter goes through the roof. Like, you start to do things and, like, you'll write a song and put a lot into it and listen to it and, like, listen to it back and be like, this is fucking garbage. And what's weird is that if you wrote it 3 years before, you'd be like, oh, my God, like, I did a song with 3 16-bar verses. Like, this is amazing. Like, I can't wait to play this for my mom.
Yeah.
You know, whereas, like, then you get to a point where you're like, yo, like, I thought I had something here, and this is just really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what about those artists that do that, and they're like, I'm really nice. Like, that shit was really good.
Well, see, that's the thing. I think the transition from... Because everybody goes through this stage at the beginning where you're basically just emulating either someone you heard.
For me, that would be Redman. Shout out to Redman.
Or, and then eventually it becomes a composite of people that you've heard. Like Icon, ironically, made it in regards to what you were saying earlier about him being in the battle. I read an interview one time. He was like, I think every MC is just a projection of what they think an MC should sound like.
Yeah. And that, I'd used the phrase once. It was 6 degrees of imitation.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. And then you get to the point where you start doing and finding your own little niche and all that. And that's when I think as a fan, it allows you to appreciate things that the average listener, and I don't mean to sound like that elitist about it, but I mean like if you're going to break things down statistically, like the average
listener. I didn't know he was so elitist when I brought him in for the show, man. My bad.
Like, it's a dick thing to say, but it's like I'll point out something and they're just like, I wouldn't have thought of it. You know, like you do the same shit. You do the same shit DJing. But then I think that allows you to...
I'm actually a rapper, so I just want to... I'm rapping now.
But then I think the thing that allows you to also, the flip side of appreciation is when someone's getting lazy with it, that's when just like, I'm hurt by that shit. I'm insulted, but you're that fucking lazy. That's why someone like Jay-Z, as much as he's done, I respect the shit out of him. When you listen to his music, it still sounds like he cares. And he's like... I want to do some like crazy ill rap shit and then sell a million copies of it, you know?
Totally. Yeah. Totally.
I mean, Steve has been documented as the story, maybe the content being the same, but I've always defended Jay on the standpoint that style-wise, he continues to be at the cutting edge. And I didn't mean to put you on blast. You looked at me like, why are you bringing me into this?
I didn't even know what you're talking about. Then I figured it out.
Okay.
Well, even at that, I think just from a craft standpoint, you know, you...
But the craft... I've always... Like, we've had this conversation. I've always been more impressed with the construction aspect and the craft than people that... I actually think it's impressive if someone can do a whole song and say nothing.
Right. Well, two things about
it. Like, how did you do that?
Two things about it, too. He doesn't write things down, which means that's why he's able to flip on the beat in a very unique way, because he's just thinking every time he listens to the beat. The other thing is, I've seen that dude do the live shit. Like, I don't want to see somebody get on stage with 15 people backing them up. No one knows what the fuck's going on. It sounds like a bunch of
bullshit. Oh, he's very dope.
That shit is out. You can't do that anymore, man. You can't be...
But that's what pops now.
Did you not go to the Kendrick Lamar show with me and watch all the people
Kendrick
was amazing. But the people that were opening up for the whatever the tour was...
Too many people on stage, man.
It's just... It's a bunch of people on stage, way too many microphones.
Right.
Mixed... You know, the mixing level carries the quality of, like, a Chrome Bills podcast. New Jersey,
stand up. Well, plus the thing about it too is
you kidding me? That shit is mad loud. And
we've done enough back and forth stuff where it's like, all right, like you say this line for added effect, and it's like help me, like if I'm having
correct,
like to breathe and all that stuff. Whereas if I see a bunch of people on stage and they're not prepared, I'm like, you literally don't care, and you don't mind other people knowing that you don't care. You're so beyond being concerned with that. That I can't fuck with that.
Like, we were opening up for one of the first shows I ever did with you. And this goes back to when I was actually, like, hype manning for Educating Consumers. Was, like, opening up for Shabam Sadiq at the Kaffa House in Washington, D.C. And, like, we had it to the point of, like, yo, like, I say confusion, but, like, I need you to say the shun.
Right.
And it was, like... a couple hours like before the show that when I see people get on stage and it looks like they didn't practice at all, I'm like, dude, you didn't even like, you were getting smoked up before the show and you guys didn't even have a convo then about like, hey, on the chorus, like just like, so the show's gonna be good tonight, why don't you do the chorus on the third song? Like, it never even came up on that level. I'm like, you really don't give a fuck.
Some lazy shit.
Like that, it's beyond lazy. It's like you don't care and you're not...
It'd be like the Super Bowl players showing up for the game hungover. You know? Just like, have some fucking respect for your craft, man.
That's what I'm saying, dude. You know?
So, what's the next question?
Yeah, what else is on the Steve Bills question forum?
All right. Have either of you guys ever done your own production?
Fuck no.
Did any production?
I made two beats.
You made one beat?
But I was like 16 and it was not good. You know who I made it with? You remember Mike Reynolds?
Yeah, okay.
Shout out Mike Reynolds.
I forgot to ask about Mike Reynolds. What's up with Mike Reynolds?
I haven't talked to that dude in a long time.
Yo, were you tight with Mike Reynolds? You guys used to roll.
You guys would have this conversation somewhere that's not the Chrome Bills podcast live in Haleo Studios.
Good point.
How's Mike Reynolds been?
Yeah. What's up with Mike Reynolds? What's up with Mike Dillon?
Like, this is the thing about Mike Reynolds. As soon as it came up and you made your point, I was like, I'm not even interested in hearing about that shit. But, so I work part-time at a bar to pay off some debt.
Okay.
I work Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday. Mike Dillon is a bartender there on Sunday nights. And like, what, like, we'll catch up, you know, and talk about. It's really one of those things, too, where.
6 degrees of libation.
Yeah. But that fool's like, so the Das FX, no, the Ice Cube song, Check Yourself, featuring Das FX,
yeah,
came on.
Yeah.
That was the first song I ever wrote a rhyme to. Okay. And it came on at the bar, like, last Sunday, and Mike came up to me. He's like, every great journey begins with one step. Biggity back to hiccup. I ain't looking for a rap. It was like the first one that
ever. No, that was the first C's rap.
He remembered your
rap.
Yeah,
and I was like, holy shit, dude.
I remember you telling me that was your first rap, too. And biggity back the fuck up because I ain't looking for a rep.
Yeah. Mike was a cool dude, man. I haven't talked to him in forever, man.
Cole knew right away he was not looking for a rep.
Yeah.
I knew it was like, actually, he
biggity
was
back the fuck up.
Because Gangstar had a song just to get a rep, and he just wanted to clear the air.
I have no concern about it.
I also knew that I wasn't going to sound like Das FX, I had to get that.
You do sound kind of like Guru, though, which is interesting. It's interesting that you went at Guru with your first rap lyric ever.
King of the Mountain, man. That's what I was playing.
I remember being.
By the way, I get signed. I want to, before we do anything.
Cutting me off as shit.
Go for it.
How's Mike Reynolds?
Yo, I remember being at Mike Dillon's house and listening to the Funk Dubious record. It was me, you, and Mike Dillon listening to the Funk Dubious.
Yeah.
Like,
year is this?
Like, which Doobie you be or something.
Yeah.
That's weird, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Cole and I probably were like, this hip-hop stuff's pretty cool at, like, the same exact time. It's kind of strange.
Which Doobie you be is what, like, 94?
Something like that, yeah. We liked every beat that went boom, 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 ree.
Well, it was ill too, because that, in terms of what's going on now with sampling all that stuff, like the Funk Dubious records, the first Cypress Hill album is fucking classic because it's just really
so
ill
awesome
samples.
Yo,
yeah.
I just saw an interview with Muggs, and he said he made that whole album with 2 crates of records. His first 2 crates of records, he made that fucking album.
That's
how
dope.
Crazy is that?
Yeah. That's dope. Yeah.
But that's the other thing too, like when you listen to what he did with those samples, you can tell that dude A knows music and knows how to make a rap beat.
Mm-hmm.
Which I feel like now, A, you don't know where you get the samples from, and B, you don't know how to make a rap beat.
Right.
I hate it. I fucking hate it. It's
you
so
like this shit? I made this right.
Yeah,
here.
No, this is dope. Nice.
Yeah.
You know?
I did my thing on this.
The other thing about Muggs,
that's pretty ill. You never got a production credit for this. I think they said they say Diamond D did this, or
Large Professor.
Large Professor, there
took
you go.
All the credit for this shit, but
oh, you're right. This is Large Professor. Yeah. This is faking the funk.
Yes,
no, my bad for cutting you off too, because I was about.
Okay, my bad.
I was about to gas you up for how good the beats have been playing in the background. I actually have a question, like, of what one was that played like 20 minutes ago, but we'll go.
Yeah, I didn't know you were Jarek Sermon.
Yeah, Jarek Sermon.
Yo.
Yo, time the fuck out. Yo, how the fuck did I never think of calling myself Jarek Sermon? Yo, holy shit.
Government names have been exposed. Government names have been exposed.
That's brilliant.
Is there anything else left on the questions?
Okay,
it's the questions, y'all. It's the questions,
yo,
y'all.
Why do I need ideas?
Hold on,
just
bro. You
got it.
You got to ask this on beat.
Okay. What part of a beat do you typically gravitate towards? See?
That was ill.
That was really ill.
The bass line.
Gay.
Hey, yo!
Hold on.
I just started shaking.
Hold on, I lost my headphones for a second.
So bass line, but what if there's no beat? What if there's no bass line in the beat?
That's like, a pretty shitty beat.
So it needs to have the beat.
Bass and snare. You have to have those two.
Just the ill cranking. All right. Yeah. How about you, K-Chrome?
Based on the song you and I did, I'm beginning to think it's the cymbals.
It's cymbals.
You like changed the cymbal. I was like, oh, I sound all fucked up on that. I got to redo my vocals now.
How do you feel about playing
but
that?
No, I'd probably say melody. Like, I think I really... Melody. I actually, if I was going to answer 4 C's, I would have said that he gravitates to beats with like rackety sort of drum sounds.
Yeah.
Okay. Like if there's like hectic drums, but they're still like rhythmic and you can follow.
Okay.
Like I'll hear that and I'll be like, oh, Cole's going to rhyme on this.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I mean, it's like, is there space in the beat to plug into? And I feel like cymbals are ill because you could hear them all over the place, but they don't take up a lot of space.
Okay.
You know?
Yo, by the way, before you go to the last question, I just want to chime in before I forget.
What up?
We actually have a sponsor on this. It's Gyna Lotrimin. And Gyna Lotrimin has decided to sponsor, so I got to get this in. It's almost like a live read. The Keith Murray Word of the Week, and this one's is cruciously. There's a phrase on Enigma.
Can you put that in a sentence,
where he
please?
Says, well, the rhyme is, I'm constantly cruciously coming for your head. So, cruciously, okay, which so appears to be a sign.
Let's break it down.
I guess crucially, okay. Crucial, and
sly.
Lucius.
Cruciously? I'm consciously, crucially.
Cruciously.
I'm
so
constantly, cruciously?
I'm constantly, cruciously coming from your head. Coming for your head.
Hey, yo!
I didn't even realize that was going to be there.
God, was you kidding me?
What? See, I had a different
word. So, shout out to Ghana Lotriman for doing this. Oh, are we getting two plugs in for them?
No, I don't even know who the fuck they are. Did they give us money or what?
Yeah, they... I'll show you the books later.
What's a pad?
Is it a pad or is it a juice of some sort?
It has something to do with the female anatomy.
It's a lotion?
It's some sort of female lotion.
Yo, respect to vagina
lotion. I still want
to
keep this.
Respect to females.
Listen, ladies.
Respect to vaginas.
All the female
respect to your
fans
vaginas,
of Chrome Bills.
Thanks for keeping your vaginas looking good.
Yeah.
I'm a married man. I'm going to get in trouble for saying this shit.
I haven't seen it.
I think I just heard a door slam upstairs.
Yo, I'm going to hide in that little closet right there.
Yeah.
Hey, yo!
You think that would just be a super creepy... This girl was like, yeah, I like giving head. It makes me feel powerful. And I was like, that'd be such an ill pickup line. Do you want to feel powerful? Suck my dick. But if I was like, yo, like, it's nice to meet you. I'm Cole. I'm very concerned. Not like I think there might be something wrong, but I want to get to know you as a person. How you veg? It's not cool.
That's amazing. All right, what else we got on the question list?
These shits are gay,
y'all. I just want to hear them.
I shouldn't say. Okay. Which?
Hey, yo!
Damn it! Oh, what's your favorite, Chuck? What's your favorite C's Mike verse of all time?
Oh, I know it. It's
Better Letter.
No, it's I like Better Letter, but no, it was we were getting smoked out. I've long been a fan of Cole smoked out lyrics, like when we would be working on the First Name Basis album, and it's the a word sandwich and nerve damage. I serve Mannix and swing moons of doom all over the third planet. Like what? Yeah. I don't even can't remember. Is that on Senseless Senses?
Yeah,
it's on the First Name Basis.
That's dope, dude.
But probably like everything on that song. But if I had to do a song I'm not on, it's either Better Letter or it's the. What's the joint? I spent most of 09 busy being depressed.
Better than this
is my joint. So, of course, I can pick the song that I'm shouted out since it's not a song that I'm actually on.
Because
I'm in the chorus. It's like my homie K. Cromie told me never to quit.
Yeah. I asked the Rock about it one time. He's like, that's my favorite song. I was like, why is it? Because you say my name. I'm like, oh, man. Why am I writing 80 bars? I'll just, like, get a beat, 16 bars full of people I know, and I'm rich.
Yo, for the record, I have bought a couple of your CDs. So
thank you.
Just next time you're writing a verse or something.
Keep in mind, paid sponsors.
But stay away from. I've already copywritten rhyming Steve Bills with cheap thrills,
cheap meals.
Deep skills, cheap meals.
Hey, yo!
Well, I know who I'm going to shout out.
You said deep.
George Sermon, the Brown Eyed Bandit.
Yeah. Fuck it. This button's getting worn out.
Hey, yo!
That was actually very hetero. Wearing out the button is very hetero. Every other line gets a no. That one gets a no hetero.
Yo, how immature are we right now? That's my next question.
It's bad.
How amateur?
How immature, cruciously are we right now?
With the podcast or with rap?
Just in life.
I might actually feel more established as a podcast host than I ever did as a rapper, which is pretty fucking horrible.
Well, here's where I'm at.
This is episode 6 of Chrome Bills. This is about hour, like, 5.5, and I feel, like, more accomplished as a radio host.
Here's where I'm at in my personal life with this. You're married. You've got a steady girlfriend. This was my best chance at having fun tonight.
Yo, but...
You know what I mean?
Okay, all right, listen. I'm going to mute this out later, but as a married man, this is my best chance of having fun tonight. Yo.
Wow.
Hey, yo, hey, yo,
but see, that's
hey,
the thing,
yo,
like...
Hey, yo.
No, I'm cool. No.
I got nothing.
Dude,
I love you, Morgan.
I will be very upset if you edit that out.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to edit
Can
that.
We just tell Morgan that you were joking?
Dude, she's so tired of my hip-hoppery at this point.
Is there anyone less interested in the Chrome Bills podcast than your wife?
At this point, no. She's like, she came down here last night, and she's like, she got quoted in the New York Times last night,
which is amazing.
It's awesome, right? And I'm like, hold on, I'm mixing two records together. Give me 5 minutes, you know? And then I was like, I'm sorry. Wow. I just press pause on the mix, you know?
When it all ends and you're wondering what happened, just play back the last 3 minutes of this discussion.
Right, exactly. Honey, give me a second.
No, that's good. Shout out to her for getting in the New York Times.
Yeah, hell yeah.
We won't put her on blast right now.
No, we won't.
All right, so
shout out to Morgan, though. I'm a big fan.
Cees, do you have a favorite K. Krohn verse?
Yes.
Ooh, I like that.
So I've always been a fan of the concept song, and I like Be Careful.
Nice.
Yeah.
That is a very old reference. I like that.
So it's about the song where it's about basically this whole idea of the idea of like marijuana being a fucking like terrorist funded drug, you know, it's like, dude.
Which there were commercials about in 2002.
Like the Super Bowl, the fucking, just on some conspiracy theory shit. The fucking Rams are like 9-point favorite against the Patriots. The Patriots win the Super Bowl. During the Super Bowl, there's fucking ads saying that if you buy a 20 bag, then you're fucking, then you're Bin Laden.
I remember it.
The fucking Patriots win the Super Bowl and one of the biggest upsets of all time. Red, white, and blue confetti's falling.
Whoa.
You know, it was just, it's one of those things where like, and then the commercials kept airing after that. I was like, dude, like, we're on some Orwell shit that the language is controlled to the point where people are allowing this shit to happen. Like, you fucking buy weed, you're terrible. Are you fucking kidding me? That's insane.
And that's such an ill take on that. That's what I was gonna jump in and say. What I loved about my own approach to it was that I didn't do a song being like, it's so fucking corny that you are running this commercial. This is so whack, which would have been stupid.
You took it.
Yeah. The chorus of the song was, if you smoke pot, be careful who you share it with.
Yeah.
Now that marijuana hits make you a terrorist. And it was like a song about being secluded, but it was all done like tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah.
And then the last line of the song is, it turns out later that you're not Al-Qaeda, but you'll be out in 8 years, so stay here.
Yeah.
And it was basically were using that to, like, it was, and that's a shout. I never, like, I actually do listen to a bunch of my stuff. I never listen to that song, but I will listen to it tonight.
Well, the thing to me is hip-hop is a culture against oppression.
Right.
And then rap is the voice of that culture, and it's like a fuck you to oppression. And I feel like Be Careful is one of those social commentary songs where it's bigger than, you know, I'm a better rapper. Like, it's just like, not only am I a better rapper because my rhyme schemes are going to be dope, but conceptually, you haven't even thought of this shit.
Right.
Like, I'm fucking that, like, 10 steps ahead of you type shit. And it was ill, too, because it was like, I remember listening to it also where it's like, you know, you'll talk to people, like, can you believe these commercials are like the government, man? And you're like, what the fuck are you even talking about? You're so fucking stupid, like, you can't even, like, coherently present your argument. Whereas you made a rap song out of it. Like, it was impressive on that end, too.
No, thank you, man. That's much
still,
respect.
Dude. Yeah. And just think about how powerful hip-hop is as a platform, right? You don't need any lobbying dollars to get your point across.
Right.
So fucking cool, right?
Right.
You don't need instruments. You just come through with the turntable.
Dude, Jay-Z has made songs about killing people, and he's met with the president.
Right. I mean, I guess that's sometimes the knock on him is like, you have the potential to do so much more.
Well,
he kind of balances it out.
I actually would say that might be a fair criticism in the sense that
you could do more. Like, look what you, where you are, and you could do more. Like,
he's very much involved in the fact that he shouldn't be in the position that he's in.
Right.
And then I take that like verbatim from many interviews. He's like, I'm just a hustler, like, who probably shouldn't even be alive right now. And instead, I'm like involved with like basketball teams, and I've met the president, and I'm a global icon.
Yeah.
Sure.
But he hasn't made the right turn, you know, meaning not right as in correct, but just like right or left turn to go down a road of like bringing forth change. Which hip hop, I mean, if you think about Public Enemy, like, I don't particularly love the song, but When I Get to Arizona is like the real, real deal.
Yeah.
Like, you're doing a song about a state no longer celebrating Martin Luther King Day and what's wrong with that. Like, that's pretty fucking legit song to approach.
Yeah.
Or like Letter to the New York Post or something. Like, those songs are bigger for what they stand for than what they actually. Ooh, what do we got over there?
I'm just trying not to distract you, but this, after this track, we're out of instrumentals in the background, so I'm gonna throw a record on.
Oh, nice. But we're rolling. What are we at, like 50 minutes?
Yeah, we're getting there.
We're getting just slam doing it.
Just slam.
We should do like three. This is going good.
Yeah.
Yo, I really appreciate having
somebody else to talk here because I don't really enjoy talking all that much. So it's nice to have.
Really?
Eh.
Be more into the music.
Yeah, I like to play the background a little bit.
I like that right after you said you don't like talking, you talked with the mic 3 feet from your mouth.
Yeah. I don't like talking a lot.
You guys can't hear this. Can you hear this? I'm talking like
I don't want to do this.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
All right.
Word up. You got any more gay adventure questions?
So.
It's amazing.
I do want
to
say
we were gonna play the sample quiz game.
Oh, I want to play the sample quiz game.
Just to make it
game.
extra kind of.
You want to drink anything?
Extra.
Should we take a? Do you want to take a 2 minute break?
Yeah,
and we'll run a Haleo commercial space. And come back.
Word up! Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, let's
so,
do that.
Why don't you give us some background on checking out of this blend right here?
So this is a mix that was entirely done by you last night that I'm a big fan of.
And, DJ Jarek Sermon in the house.
I want to say DJ Jarek Sermon is one of the most underappreciated DJs in hip-hop right now.
And I would say I'm the most overrated in this room.
It might be the most... That actually, both of those things could be true. That you are completely overrated in this room, yet underrated on the grand scheme of hip-hop. That could be entirely 100% factually accurate. In fact, it's to the level that you could get a tattoo of it.
Yo.
There you go.
All right, what up?
Push the button. But I want to give a shout out. This is Chrome
shout
Bills.
Shout out to C's Mikes.
Chrome Bills episode 6. We have C's Mikes of the Educated Consumers in the house. We have Steve Bills, the bedroom DJ.
What up?
We have K Chrome, aka Captain Midrange, on the microphone. And
MC Vertebrake over here.
Yes, that's amazing. So we're going to take a break real quick. Craig Mack, take us to break.
Hey, yo, you must want to be in the Guinness Book of World Records as the dumbest motherfucker alive.
Take that.